The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Chocolate Covered Anything Day, Tone. What's your favorite thing to cover in chocolate?
I'm Tony Kornheiser, myself, on my OnlyFans feed. Okay, so look, I'm a show monkey.
You don't know what that is?
I read what they write for me.
You'd have to.
I don't know what OnlyFans is.
No.
And I'm not covering myself in chocolate.
You didn't know what Tinder was yesterday, and Tinder's mainstream. You didn't know that.
The funnier line was the one they refused to use, which was I'd cover my neighbor.
Yeah.
That was funny. They said, oh, you can't say that.
You got no neighbor to the right, so we're only working 50-50. And by the way, how about the marketing people who should be shipped out to sea for coming up with these stupid days? Really?
There's at least 3 to 4 days every single day if you have a calendar, you can see all these things. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We're about 2 minutes late. In today's episode, James Harden takes the court, Aaron Rodgers sounds confident, and baseball owners want to delay the season. But we begin today with the college football playoff rankings. The top four are the same as they've been for a while. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. Just behind them is Texas A&M. But let's look further down for this story. Florida, which lost at home to a 3-5 LSU team, dropped just one spot from 6 to 7. Meanwhile, undefeated Cincinnati dropped to 9, even though they didn't even play. Cincinnati is behind 3 2-loss teams, Iowa State, Florida, and Georgia. Wilbon, does the committee have it right?
The committee looks like a stooge. Seriously, the committee looks stupid and mean or out of touch. Like they just said, you know, there's a pandemic. We're not even going to pay attention this week. It just looks like you just want to, I want to walk in the room and just look at everybody, just look around and say, really? Do you think the rest of us are as stupid as you people are? Because really, Florida, see, we got TVs at our house and we just watched Florida lose for the second time this year. So either you're stupid or you're just slavishly devoted to the SEC, which it is, and then the ACC after that. And so they're scared of Ohio State and what the Big Ten might do to them. So they have to sort of keep Ohio State propped up. It angers me, as you can tell, that the committee is this dumb and out of touch.
So what it says to me, if Florida at home loses and they're a 23.5-point favorite and they only drop one, that says to me that Notre Dame can lose and stay in, because they'd be losing to a better team. That even suggests to me, Mike, that if Clemson loses, and that's their second loss, they might stay in. Although I'm perfectly happy if somebody drops out and Texas A&M gets in, because they've got a good loss. They lost to Alabama. You cannot get a better loss than losing to Alabama.
It's nice that you're so kind and esoteric about this, and you want to assign point values to what the committee does. I want the committee shipped out. Seriously, Tony, it's insulting what the committee did yesterday, what they announced. I mean, the Florida thing alone, you just want to stop and say, I'm sorry. Are you people awake? You want us to believe that this is the right ranking of these teams? So you can go and be esoteric and nuanced if you want. I'm not bothering with that.
No,
seriously.
That's fine. But let me get to one thing that did bother me, okay? And I read this. Pat Forty wrote a great piece in Sports Illustrated. And he killed the committee. He killed them. And he killed Iowa State in particular. He said, Iowa State lost head-to-head to Louisiana. They're ranked way over
like
Louisiana.
Like 9 spots.
Louisiana then lost. The only loss was to Coastal Carolina, which has no losses. Coastal Carolina is behind Iowa State. And Coastal Carolina beat Louisiana and BYU, which were undefeated prior to that. The one thing I think the committee got right is USC. They're not putting USC in this thing.
No,
we said that USC is 5-0, and 3 of their wins are against bad teams in their late
wins. Tony, you know what the problem for the committee is? Football's about 20 years behind basketball when it comes to smaller, schools, with a basketball team, you get one great player and you can change the dynamic of March. You actually can. In football, you can't do that yet. But Tony, it's coming. And I understand this is a different year. The pandemic has made it such that a lot of Power Five programs are of non-factor. And you have little schools like Coastal Carolina that pop up. But Tony, I'm not going to say it's trending yet, but it's coming. And the committee, whether it recognizes it, they're not paying any attention. Let me stay angry and get to James Harden, who was back on the court for the Rockets last night. Harden played 21 minutes, scored 12 points on 3 of 10 shooting. And after the game, head coach Stephen Silas said Harden looked good. And today Harden said he felt good, but of course declined to address his own trade demands. Tony, how did Harden look to you?
Looked a bit chunky, actually, to me. Kendrick Perkins, who weighs about 400 pounds, said that Harden looked like him with a wig on. No, so it looked
that
like he had gained
line,
that COVID-19.
It?
Yeah, it looked like he'd gained that. So, look, he's a great player, and he can score on anyone, and he's going to look better as the season goes on. I want to commend Houston, and particularly Stephen Silas, who is doing the exact right thing, keeping his head down and his mouth shut and putting this guy out on the court. Because there's a story in ESPN that says that Harden is a complete prima donna and is late for all meetings and angers everybody and gets his way all the time. And if you're Harden, maybe you want to get out on the court so that teams don't think that it's counterproductive to get you. So teams think you are cooperative and maybe they'll trade for you and get you out of there like you want to be.
We've seen the best of James Harden. James Harden ain't going to be the best player on any team that wins a championship or gets to a championship or gets close to a championship. James Harden is what he is. He's one of the great scorers of all time. End of sentence, end of paragraph. Now, you can train for James Harden if you want. If you've got others who bring out the best in him for another year or two, and they're damn good themselves. But the picture painted of Harden in that piece, Tony, is something that a lot of people have known. Harden ain't dedicated himself to the game like LeBron James on off days necessarily and off season moments. Like, you know, I mentioned LeBron, like Russell Westbrook, like Chris Paul, like guys who everybody knows. Oh, my God, these guys are dedicated to the last drop at getting better, even on any single off day and working with younger players and doing all the things they need to do. And this piece says what a lot of people have thought, that James Harden ain't into that. And so that it's fine. Harden wouldn't be the first NBA star not into that. But if you think that Harden is just going to get on Houston and make them great like they were a couple of years ago and that close to winning the championship, I don't believe that at all. Houston ought to want to get as much as they can for James Harden and get him out of Dodge.
I'm sure they do. The piece points out that Chris Paul and Harden didn't get along and Russell Westbrook and Harden didn't get along. And you talk about the places he wants to go. I don't know why Brooklyn would trade for him. They've already got Kyrie Irving, who's enough for 12 people to have to handle. And when you say Philadelphia, you trade Ben Simmons. I don't know why Houston would want Ben Simmons if they have John Wall. So I don't know how that works. But Harden obviously wants to get out. Let's move on. Bob Nightingale writes in USA Today that Major League Baseball owners want all players vaccinated before they start the season, which they would delay until May and then could shorten to 140 games or fewer. Baseball players want all 162 games and full pay. And they say last season they proved they could obey the protocols. Wilbon, whose side do you lean towards?
They proved they could obey the protocols. Like the first couple of weeks, half the games were canceled. What are you talking about? What are you paying attention to? I'm squarely in a place I never am, on the side of baseball owners. So you mean to tell me the players aren't going to care as a union? I'm not going to get to individual players. But as a union, as an entity, vaccine, what happened to health and safety? If the owners said to the players in baseball, no, we don't want you to have the vaccine, let's go play, the players would scream bloody murder and go the other way because all they want to do is fight with the owners and all the owners want to do is fight with the players. 140 games is not enough. You can't make 90% of your salary and perhaps guarantee your own union safety, your union members? Please.
So my feeling is that everybody should get vaccinated. You should want to get vaccinated.
Yes.
And if you can get vaccinated by April, shorten spring training the way the NBA and the NHL are doing, and go play the season. And that's how I feel.
After being vaccinated.
What is the problem here that the baseball players would jump the line? Pro sports jumps the line on things medical all the time and nobody cares. So go out, play 162, and the way you do it, you have expanded rosters. You play every day if you have to. You play the 7-inning doubleheaders. I don't see why that's a problem. Oddly enough, this is one of the few times that I think I side with the players. You know, because it seems to me health and safety are very important, but as you always say in the NFL, you don't believe them about health and safety.
No.
I'm not sure I believe the baseball owners this time. I think it's about money. I think they want to shorten the season to not have to pay that much because they can't get enough fans in the stands. They can't make concession money, and they would rather push you off the season until enough people get vaccinated that there's 25 or 30,000 people there.
But it's not that many games.
So we disagree.
It's not that many games. It's 140 or 140 plus. It's a 162-game schedule. What are we talking about here? I'm not a math major, neither were you, but it's 20 games.
Mike, I'm saying you can get all 162 in, and if it means that you have to put the playoffs and the World Series in a neutral, warm-weather site, that's what they did this year,
and it was fine.
It was fine with me.
Take the damn vaccine.
Let's take a break.
Stop whining.
Stop screaming. Let's take a break. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers sounds very positive on the Packers. Too positive?
And Roger Federer sounded even more uncertain than we thought about his tennis future.
So we're going to do Roger and Rodgers. That's good. That sounds like good planning on the part of producers.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey, part of Happy Hour.
Time to don the lexicon, and what's the word? Word up. What's first?
Aaron Rodgers sounds blank about the Packers.
He sounds jacked up. Here are the quotes that he said on the Pat McAfee show. Quote, "We're playing great football. Now we can say it. We're having a lot of success on offense," unquote. That's pretty good considering he hates the GM and the coach for drafting Jordan Love. He's a guy who always told people to relax. He's a rather subdued fella. So this sounds really amped up by Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, Mike, I've got him as the MVP. I got Patrick Mahomes as the best player. Yeah. But I've got Rodgers, who's working with Les, as the MVP. Here's Rodgers, 39 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Mike, plus 35. Here's Mahomes, 33 and 5, plus 28. And since they lost to Tampa Bay and they're 4-0 and averaging 38 points a game, he's got 13 touchdowns and no picks.
Listen, if he can't beat the Bears in their rematch, then he can't be the MVP. Sorry. He's got to sweep them to be the MVP. He sounds all kumbaya. I mean, you said he hates his coach and his GM. He sounds pretty good there. He sounds like they might go out and, you know, raise one together somewhere in greater Green Bay. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's angry. You said he's going to hate the coach. It's not going to work. He hates the GM, blah, 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 blah.
I said that.
He doesn't hate anybody. He's saying peace and love. He's saying peace and love. What are you talking about?
You know who I don't hate?
Who?
I don't hate the College Football Ranking Committee. You do.
Yeah, I do.
What's
today
next?
Roger Federer's award speech was blank.
Was foreshadowing. He got this award as the greatest athlete in Switzerland in the last 70 years, and he made a speech.
Ooh,
and I wonder
up in that, why by did, the way.
Yeah, why did they cut it off at 70? Did they find out Babe Ruth was Swiss? Here are the people he was up against. Stan Wawrinka and Martina Hingis. And then,
that's it.
And yeah, and
that's
then some
list.
Bicycle rider. You know, hey, look, everybody knows that Switzerland is not known for its athletes. It's known for private numbered bank accounts and Heidi and Swiss Miss hot chocolate, which for all I know is manufactured
in
New
Jersey. What is that kid, Matti Niekanen, the downhill kid? Wasn't he Swiss? Isn't.
I he's thought
probably
he was
still
Finnish.
Like 40 years old. He's Finnish,
I thought he was
you're
from
right.
Finland.
I was at the Winter Olympics. I
Here's
can't
the
even
thing.
Remember.
He says if his career ends now, he's good with it. He's 39 years old. Maybe he gets to 40, but it's probably over. Probably over.
You know what his award speech was? It was happy trails. Happy trails to Roger Federer. What? He's done. It's time to be done. The next number is 40. Not everybody's time to be TB12. Federer is the... If he's not the GOAT, he is right there, and you can argue
he's close. He is the GOAT.
He's in the discussion. So this is happy
That's
trails.
Right.
We're going to do this one day soon where Federer just says, I'm done. I mean, what a great life Federer has had, is having, and will have. Sayonara.
Do you like Swiss Miss hot chocolate? I think it's really good. Eat your words, Wilbon. Let's take one last break. Still to come, if the prompter ever moves, Duke is ready to get back out onto the court tonight. Is it a big game for the Blue Devils?
And we have a new all-time wins leader in women's college basketball. How many majors wins does Martina Hingis have? I'm going to say 11. Is that too many?
She doesn't have as many as Federer.
Well, no, Federer's
got 20. She doesn't have that many.
I'm going to say 11 for Hingis. It might be too high. Maybe
I think that's high. I think
11's
high.
Adjusting down to 8.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 29th birthday, David Johnson. Sadly, the Texans running back may be destined as a trivia answer. Who was that guy the Cardinals traded to Houston for DeAndre Hopkins? Johnson was first team All-Pro in 2016. He was Saquon Barkley before Saquon Barkley. But he's been injured often and has never approached his 2016 level again, breaking the hearts of fantasy football owners. Johnson's having an okay year for the Texans. He has 452 yards rushing, 161 yards receiving, and 5 total touchdowns. But Hopkins going wild for Arizona. His Hail Mary catch has been replayed 100,000 times, and he and Kyler Murray look like a real thing. Bill O'Brien lost his job in part over this trade. It's the risk you take. The Atlanta Braves had an all-star pitcher named Doyle Alexander, who won 194 games all time. But nobody remembers that. What they remember is the Braves trading him to the Tigers to get back John Smoltz, who's in the Hall of Fame. Doyle Alexander, say happy birthday to David Johnson.
Tony, the guy who's having much more than an okay year in Houston, because he's still there, and ought to be angry at everybody in the front office who okayed that trade, all right? Between the Arizona Cardinals and Houston is one Deshaun Watson. who basically just, people talk about Tom Brady and who he didn't have around him. Are you kidding me? I mean, Deshaun Watson's in the prime of his career physically, and he got no squad because the guy traded maybe the best receiver in the entire league. I mean, seriously, if you're Watson, you're looking to go somewhere.
Happy anniversary, Jameis Winston. On this day 7 years ago, Winston won the Heisman Trophy as a redshirt freshman at Florida State. That season, Winston led the Seminoles to the national championship, beating Auburn to cap off a 14-0 record. In 2015, Winston was the number one overall draft pick going to Tampa Bay. In 5 years there, he was 28-42 as a starter, never making the playoffs, throwing 121 touchdowns and 88 interceptions. Not good. Last year, Winston led the league in passing yards, but he also threw a league-high 30 picks. When the Bucs signed Tom Brady, Winston was cut loose. He signed a one-year deal with New Orleans, where he has thrown just 11 passes. Presumably, Winston went there to back up Drew Brees, but he was passed over for Taysom Hill by Coach Sean Payton when Brees got hurt. Payton has said, quote, "Jameis is definitely a starter, though he hasn't started him." This week on the Huddle and Flow podcast, Payton said, quote, "Jameis is going to have that opportunity to start in New Orleans the minute Drew leaves," unquote. Oh, has anyone called Hill for comment?
How about Sean Payton, who I know you love, put aside little ego.
I do.
And design an offense this week for the guy he has playing quarterback and let him run. Don't try to force him to be something else. We know what it is that Taysom Hill does. Let him do that, Sean Payton. I know he's a great coach, but it seems like his ego got involved last week a little too much.
Happy trails to Pat Summitt's all-time wins record. Stanford coach Tara Vanderveer won her 1,099th game last night, taking over for her dear friend, the late Pat Summitt, as the winningest D1 coach in women's college basketball. Vanderveer's number one Cardinal beat Pacific 104-61. Vanderveer said afterwards, quote, "I really hope Pat is looking down and saying, good job, Tara, keep it going." Vanderveer began her coaching career at Idaho in 1978 when she was 25. She took over at Stanford in 1985. She has 947 wins at Stanford, where she has won two national championships and made the Final Four 11 other times. Her teams have won 81.3% of their games, and she was the coach of the gold medal U.S. Olympic basketball team in Atlanta in 1996. Congratulatory messages on getting the record came from Stanford alums Condoleezza Rice and John Elway, and one that particularly tickled Vanderveer came from Billie Jean King. It's unclear how long Vanderveer will hold this record. Gino Auriemma won his 1,093rd game last night. That sound Vanderveer may be hearing is the UConn locomotive approaching.
Tony, I know that Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt cast a long shadow over women's college basketball, and they earned it. But I think this is really cool, actually, that Tara Vanderveer had this moment. And it's too bad that people can't be there to celebrate for real. You know, not virtually, you know, not on Zoom. It's too bad they can't be there to hug her and shower her with affection. But I'm just glad she's gotten this moment.
One correction, Martina Hingis won 5 majors, not 11, as Wilbon suggested. Very quick
eight.
To the big finish, if we could. Baseball officially elevating the Negro Leagues to major league status. Big deal?
Maybe, Tony, but I'm afraid it's going to mean a lot to too few people. Too few. Which had come decades ago, the CFP, College Football Committee, is expected to keep one semifinal at the Rose Bowl in hopes the state will allow family members to attend. Do you think that will happen?
I hope so. Lewis Riddick interviewing the Texans and Lions for their GM jobs. Your thoughts?
A lot of stress on those jobs. Ask Matt Millen. The Bucs have placed their punter, kicker, and long snapper on the reserve COVID list. Woo!
Yeah, it sounds like a team meeting that went bad. Last one, college hoops tonight. Number 21 Duke at Notre Dame. Who you got?
Notre Dame, Tony. Rare pick for me.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knucklehead. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.